This is the official Caps Chirp podcast, proudly a part of the Hockey Podcast Network. Every team, everywhere. What's going on, Caps fans? It's me, the Hockey Troll, and I'm here with That Snack, Poly Cupcakes.
Hello, good evening, or good morning, if you're listening when this comes out, wherever you get your podcasts on Thursday.
Currently, we are recording right before, well, right as the Seattle and Washington game is going on, and Caps are already up by one. Is that right, Polly?
Yeah, man, Willie finished. Nice play down low by Cousy to fight and get the puck free and put it right on Willie's tape and snipe from the slot. Beautiful, beautiful play. The only not cool thing about the play is that it was a Cousy only assist, so no point for Ovi, but hey, you know, that's okay.
Was it on the power play?
No, it was even strength.
Nice. Yeah, I'm just looking at my fantasy lineup and crying. That's all. All right. Well, Caps fans, we've got a great episode for you today. As always, this is our Thursday episode. We'll be diving into some things that we saw last week that, you know, either we loved or we didn't. And usually when we didn't, it's my hockey troll hip check. And then when we did, it's snack time with Poly Cupcakes. So I think we should just get right into it, Polly. What do you think?
Yes.
One, two, three.
All right. So, Polly, I guess you've gotten some Twitter fame, you were telling me, or something? What is this? You were retweeted? I don't know. What's happening?
Okay. Don't make me sound like a complete loser. But, I mean, I was excited because John Butchegross retweeted my tweet. Talking about, he put out his college hockey rankings because he's a big college hockey guy. I mean, he's the one who created the hashtag college hockey, you know, spelled CAWLIDGEHAWKEY. So he's a big college hockey guy. I think he pretty much has been calling the Frozen Four for however many years. I can't even remember. It's usually him and Barry Melrose because ESPN does do the Frozen Four. So anyway, he put out his new rankings and Notre Dame bumped up. So I quoted it, was just pumping Notre Dame's tires about it, and he retweeted me and it felt nice.
You're famous.
Did you know he grew up? He grew up near Wheeling. He's from Steubenville, Ohio.
No shit.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So big ESPN hockey / all around sports guy is he's from half hour away from us, Ohio Valley.
Well, good
the
for
home
him.
Of Dean Martin.
Home of Dean Martin, yeah. Well, Caps fans, today on the Hockey Chill Hip Check, I'm gonna shit on Rick Bonus, and if you don't know why, you'll find out. And Paulo's going to give us a somewhat good update on NCAA sports. We're going to hear more about those Golden Dome boys out in Notre
Dame. Well, it's not just Notre Dame, but, I'd still be talking about this even if it wasn't Notre Dame because, just a preview without me breaking it down.
Yeah.
Two highly ranked teams got swept this weekend. So awesome. I'm going to talk about that.
Gotta love an underdog story. Kind of like that overrated movie, Rudy. But we'll be talking about, I do want to say, Capsons, I hope that you are tuning into us live as you're watching the Kraken get their asses kicked by the Washington Capitals. We're going to keep it short so that you can get back to hearing those angelic voices of Joe Beninati and Craig Lachlan. But right now, I think we should just get right into the Hockey Troll Hip Check. What do you think?
Let's do it.
This is the Hockey Troll Hip Check.
All Alright, I'm going to keep this short. Rick Bonus is a fucking douchebag. Alright, this guy's a piece of shit. The reason I think this is, you know, so this is a guy who got his job because, I can't even, the name escapes me. Guy checked himself into rehab, the head coach, last year, and Rick Bonus basically got this job by default and then took the Stars to a Stanley Cup final by pure COVID luck, and then management is all like, oh man, this might be the guy for the future. And that's where he sits right now. Like, that's his, you know, I mean, you know, I'll give him that. He's had a long coaching career and whatnot. But, you know, I don't know. I don't believe that he's got any sort of true clout. And what head coach does in the NHL? I feel like there's maybe only a handful, two or three, Barry Trotz, and that's about it. It's like where the list ends, is to proven Laviolette, that is proven hockey knowledge and knows how to manage a team. Obviously, Rick Bonus has no fucking idea. He healthy scratched Riley Tufte, who is a Minnesota boy, spent his entire call-up bonus to get his friends and family, and then he tapped his other buddy, Nick Bjugstad, who's playing for Minnesota, to get even more tickets because he just like was going to have a shot to play in front of him in Dallas, right? So Dallas Stars are playing the Minnesota Wild on the 18th, and he was slated to play. And like literally the afternoon before the game, Rick Bonus healthy scratches him. Look, there is no way this coach did not know all of this was going down. Like, as far as all of the, like, spent his entire bonus on getting, like, you know, captains, I don't know if you realize, but, like, the number one way that the NHL owners make money is off ticket sales. Like, the NHL is not a nationwide network. They don't make their money on TV. They should, but they don't. And you know, it's still very, like, a regional sport. And this kid really just was like, fuck it, you know, this might be the only time any of my friends are going to let me play, see me play in Minnesota, going back to the hometown, Stars are in town. And Bonus goes, nope, I'm going to make a statement here because I'm an egotistical maniac. And healthy scratches this kid. I don't even know what his stats are. It's just a fucking dick move. Like, you got your rookie up there, you called him up a week ago because you needed his fucking help. And you just like, yeah, you know, we could contend for something. Meanwhile, the Stars aren't even in playoff position. So, and it's early in the season. And the Stars are banged up. So it's really just a sad kind of lead up to the event. And then finally, the Stars play Minnesota and get the absolute shit kicked out of them 7-2. I mean, that's an embarrassment. I really don't see how there's any redeemable call on this coach. The Stars are sixth out of the wild card spot, and they have 16 fucking points. They're clinging desperately to a 500 record, and they're -8 in goals differential. I don't care. I mean, so look, the kid got in like one game before this. All right. He played 10 minutes. Looks like he might, you know, looks like he's in, right? You think you bring a rookie up, you're going to give him a couple games at least, right, Paulie?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I mean, let him play two games. You called him up for a fucking reason. You only have a certain amount of time in which his shelf life is ended and you have to take him back down or whatever. He has to clear waivers, whatever the fuck that is.
They took him to Minnesota with him.
Yeah, I mean, and they...
Right. Are you going to travel with this kid and then scratch him?
Right, exactly. And I mean, you know, teams do this all the time in the sense of like, all right, well, we've got some healthy scratches. Like, if you don't come with us on the... I mean, you come with us on the trip because you're part of the team, but you may not play. I mean, that's always a risk. But... And to know all this and then still just be like, oh, well, you know, we have a chance to win these big game points... for the fucking Dallas Stars, who are going to the buzzsaw of Minnesota, you know, that was already an L. Everybody in that fucking locker room knew they were going to take the L probably before they even stepped on the ice. They just didn't know it was going to be this fucking bad. I do not see any redeemable factors here. There is no excuse for this coach to do this.
No, not at all. And, you know, I think, so first of all, what makes it even worse is he tried to blame it on his assistant coach. And then
wait, how? It would have been, how? You might have read something I didn't. Look.
Yeah, hold on.
I mean, he basically was just like, nope, you know, just didn't like the energy or the speed. And it's like, yeah, those are things that are commonly not in a 23-year-old guy. Like, fuck you, dude. You just didn't, you just wanted to shit on somebody's parade to make yourself feel better. That's how it looks, and I'm, that's my segment, and I'm sticking fucking to it. Rick Bowness is a dumbass. You know, I mean, he elaborated on it, and again, you know, like, this dude wasn't lining it up. That's fine. But he's, it's his second game. He's, and the worst part is, like, this kid had, like, I think it was diabetes. He would be in the hospital looking at the Minnesota arena and saying, like, you know, one day I'm going to play there. And he finally gets his shot and out. So it was his second straight. So I did, this is something I didn't read before. It was his second straight scratch. So he was out Saturday against St. Louis. But I don't know, man. I mean, you're looking at a team that's 500. You're middling at best. You might as well, like, I think that the boys in the locker room would absolutely respond, like, give this kid a shot, you know, let him see what he can do and get him out in front of his home, like, distract them from your shitty fucking team. You're the Dallas Stars. There's no reason that you made it to the fucking Stanley Cup Finals in the past 15 years. There's no fucking reason other than a global pandemic.
Yeah, I mean, so he said it was ultimately assistant coach Derek Ladde, maybe is how you say it, said it was his decision. So he was blaming this assistant coach. And then also, like, taking credit away from himself, saying that this guy has the power, making that decision. You know, what would have been, what makes this even, like, and this is just me, like, thinking theatrically, but, like, he's a kid from Minnesota, and he would have had one of his, you know, his second game of his career would have been playing for the former North Stars. Coming back into Minnesota is just like a whole full circle storyline.
Yeah.
In addition to it being his hometown. And they just, you know, screw him over like that. There's really no excuse for it. And honestly, if I was that player, I would feel like if I get played within the next game or two, it's just like his guilty conscience.
Right. And so, Here's the quote from Bonus, because obviously media was like, "Why are you dick, bro?" He goes, "We get to the rink on Thursday morning. Seggy's back in the hotel. Another guy's pulled off the ice for testing positive. Now we're down two. So I went to Riley and Joe Hanley. Riley is the guy that we're talking about, and said, 'You guys are going to play tonight. Now, because these two guys are out, we're going to play 11 forwards and 7 defensemen because we're going to have to.' And that's when I left the rink at 12:30, that's what we were doing. I came back at 4:00. They tell me, well, we're ready to play. They got the green light to play. So the first thing I did was picked up the phone and called Riley and said, 'Riley, before anyone buys tickets here and gets committed, you're out tonight. It's changed. I do want you to take warm up in case someone gets sick.' At 4:00, he knew he wasn't going to play. They had lots of times to cancel tickets or whatever that was. 4:00. 4:00 on game day. There's no time. The time that you have is to go to the fucking game, drink beer, and then try to scalp tickets. That's what you're talking about there. And then he goes, sorry. The real world. Right, yeah, well, he's so disconnected, obviously. He goes, sorry, I honestly don't understand the big deal about this, but whatever. He's a good kid. We had a good conversation. There's no issues. Tuff's agent, Ben Hackinson, tweeted that all the tickets he's buying wipe out entire salary of getting called up to the NHL. But close friend and wild forward Nick Bjugstad helped him out with some of his tickets. So, you know, just like the Wednesday before, like Tuffe talks about how many friends and family would be in the building. You know, the big guns were out. Sagan, Hintz, both those guys were out. Hack and a Paw tested positive in late October. I'm just like, you know, basically bonus picked Kiviranta over Tufte. Tufte could have been in the lineup had Roope or Hintz been out, which I think both of them were. And yeah, I mean, he says the situation could have been handled better because if Bonus had just communicated some shit. So this dude just, I don't know, man. It reeks of Babcock.
Yeah, and there have been a lot of people saying that. I've seen a lot of tweets saying a very similar thing there, and I think it's 100% accurate. You know, the stories that have come out about Babcock, this is that kind of stuff. It sounds to me like a very narrow-minded, inconsiderate, power-tripping douchebag.
Right. And here's the thing about Babcock. At least Babcock had a pedigree to lean back on. Cups. Detroit. You know, dude was a winner. And then he comes to Toronto and tries to, like, swing deck and whatever, you know? I mean, and let's just say this. The only positive thing I've ever heard about Babcock was that Sean Avery loved him when I listened to Sean Avery's audiobook.
Which isn't really, like, a shining endorsement.
Exactly. Exactly. And the only reason Avery liked him was because Babcock did dickhead things to Sean Avery. Like, when Avery was getting called up to the wings, Babcock still made him participate in the bag skate hours before. He already knew he was getting called up. He still made Avery go through full practice bag skate, and then he told him the news after practice.
What a move.
Right, and I mean, this was in, like, what, Kalamazoo, so he could have, like, you know, gotten to the rink early and, like, seen some of the guys and, like, taken his nap. No, fuck that. You're skating, bro. I don't know. I'm sure Riley is going to be fine from this or whatever. I mean, but it just, you know, it's just not a good time to be being a dick for no reason.
Yeah.
I mean, I've coached before, you know, pretty extensively, or at least in, like, positions of power like this, you know, West Virginia Lacrosse Coach of the Year. No big deal. But, totally joking, but, like, I mean, not joking that I won that, but it's a joke in itself. But, like, I look at this and I'm like, man, like, I only benched players because they were fuckheads or they did something wrong in school. Everybody had, like, equal treatment, you know, when you're on the field, when you're on the ice, like, you're whatever, and then, hey, look, there still is the human capacity to it, right? You know, somebody was having a problem, I'd pull them aside and be like, what the fuck, dude? What's going on? Everything okay? I don't know, man. I just, ugh. It's just such a shitty thing to do to a kid, you know?
Yeah, it really is.
And, you know, Rick Bonus, who the fuck are you? You could be out of a job in another year, especially after this fucking season. The Dallas Stars aren't good, but and they don't have the roster to be, but and you know, it's crazy. You get lucky, and this is what happens. This is how, and this should be more of an indictment on, like, poor management than anything else, right? Because, like, the Dallas Stars obviously think Rick Bowness is somebody now. And, of course, he's got, you know, over a decade of experience coaching as an assistant. But at the same time, you look at it, and you're like, just seems like an egomaniacal power trip over other adults. If you were playing hockey against me, I'd ask, like, why your dad didn't hug you enough.
Can confirm. That is a line you use.
Hey, 2-6, you mad? Daddy didn't hug you enough? That always gets a good rise.
Yes, it does.
You know, maybe one episode we'll just have, like, all my chirps that I've ever had in Beer League and just see, like, what, you know, if we get canceled or not. We'll probably get canceled.
Yeah, we need to start miking you up.
Caps fans, if you would like to see Hockey Troll and Poly Cupcakes mic'd up in a Beer League game, I've always wanted to do that. I've always wanted to do that. Just through my own ego. But I don't know how we do it.
You're just going to hear me breathing heavy. But, I mean, that could be a show in itself.
Yeah. We'd have to change genres and be, like, weird erotic shit. But if you want to hear us mic'd up, I mean, we'll make it happen. We'll make it happen. We have a little bit of budget now. We'll buy the mics and get a videographer out there.
Yeah, man.
That'd be embarrassing, though, man. I don't know if I could bring a videographer to our Beer League game.
Kayla commented, ASMR, and I agree. Me breathing heavily would just soothe people. Yeah. If for like the very like at the very least they'd be like, God, I'm healthier than this guy.
All right. Well, all of this talk's got me worked up. Rick Bowness, you're a douchebag. You should have fucking just played the kid. Especially, I mean, it's Minnesota. They're flying high right now. You knew going in you're gonna play for overtime at best. You know, you might have fed some bullshit line to your team, but you knew with a depleted roster that you were playing for overtime at best. At best, you were going to get 1 point. If you were lucky, 2 out of this matchup. You might as well have just let this young kid go out and play, to be completely honest. And you didn't, and you're a douchebag, and everybody, and you don't know why. Well, you know why now, motherfucker, and do better. Be nicer. Don't be rude. But I'm hungry. What about you, Paulie?
Yeah, well, you know, before I serve up dessert, maybe we should have a palate cleanser.
Oh, yes. You're right. You're right. Caps fans, the NHL season is underway, and DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, is an unbelievable offer to celebrate the greatest sport on ice. New customers can bet just $1 on any NHL game and win $100 in free bets if either team scores a goal. Doesn't matter if it's a one-time clapper or a depth deflection, however they light the lamp, you win. If Sportsbook isn't available yet in your state, DraftKings won't leave you empty-handed. Everyone can play for huge cash prizes all season long in DraftKings Daily Fantasy Sports Contests. DraftKings is giving all new customers a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes with their first deposit. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code THPN. Throw down $1 on any NHL game and win 100 in free bets if either team scores a goal this week. One puck in the net nets you a big win with promo code THPN at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL. Must be 21 or older in New Jersey, Indiana, or PA only. New customers only, minimum $5 deposit, $1 wage required, one per customer, restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Nice assist there, Paulie. I was totally going to blow past that.
Yeah, man. I'm ending the night with at least 2 points.
There you are. There you are. All right. Here we go. Snack time with Poly Cupcakes.
It's snack time with Poly Cupcakes.
I'm ready.
There we go. So, we're going to talk a little bit of college hockey. So, coming into this week, I'll just tell you who the top 14 teams are.
What?
Because that's what's relevant.
Okay.
All right. So, one, you got Michigan. 10 okay. and 2, rolling through teams. St. Cloud State, 9 and 3, number 2. Then Minnesota State, Minnesota Duluth, Quinnipiac, North Dakota, Minnesota, UMass, Omaha, Cornell, Denver, Providence, and then number 13 is Western Michigan, and number 14 is Notre Dame.
Go Mavs.
All right. Well, yeah, I'll talk about them a little bit at the end. So we'll start off with number two. So number two, St. Cloud State, they go into Western Michigan. Number 13, you know, Western Michigan had their home crowd at their back, and they put St. Cloud, they extended the losing streak that St. Cloud had. So St. Cloud was number one 2 weeks ago, and they lost one of those games last weekend. Western Michigan made it three in a row, dominating fashion, 6-2 and 4-0. Actually, it was the first time in quite a while that someone from Western Michigan had scored 4 goals in a game. I mean, really, it's just not, I don't think, what anyone was expecting in this game. Especially, unless you're like a real hardcore fan, probably aren't even really familiar with Western Michigan's success. But
right.
That's really going to shake things up. So number two goes down, dominating fashion. If I had to guess, they could drop out of the top five.
Yeah.
The real exciting upset this weekend, though, was two very close games at Yost Arena. Number 14, Notre Dame, went in, swept the home Michigan Wolverines, who have just been rolling. You know, it started off looking like Michigan was going to keep rolling. They were up 2-0 in the third, and then 36 seconds following Michigan's second goal, Hunter Strand got the Irish on the board, and then Ryder Rolston tied it up towards the end of the period, sent it to OT. Ryder Rolston does it again on a power play, one-timer. It's Michigan's first loss in almost a month. And, you know, this is big. Notre Dame comes into an away arena, and they get 1 out of 2. You know, if you're a Notre Dame fan or someone rooting for Michigan to lose, you're thinking this is good. You know, at least they'll maybe drop one, because I think a lot of people were expecting Michigan to just dominate. I don't think Notre Dame didn't have as high of expectations as they've had in the past coming into the season.
Right. But
that gave them their fifth win in a row. And as most college hockey goes, they played a home and home, or a back to back, you know, normally
yeah,
in
so,
college hockey.
So tell me about these. Like, when you say, so it's a lot, I mean, somewhat like baseball in the sense of like when college hockey happens and the team makes a move and they go play, is it usually like a series, like two games in a, like Saturday, Sunday, or is it like two games in 2 days, or is it like the NHL where you're like a game, day of rest, game?
Yeah, typically it's a back-to-back, you know, at the same arena. In the past, when they were in different conferences, and I think even when they've been in the same conference because they're so close, Notre Dame and Michigan will split both series as a home and home because it's only like – I think it's less than 2 hours between the campuses.
Oh, okay.
So they've split in the past, but this one was completely at Michigan. But, yeah, that's – typically, the way it goes is you just go play two against the same opponent at the same arena, And then if they're in your conference, you'll do it again at the other team's arena later on. Now, you do have your – they still do have their one-offs. Like Notre Dame, they play Boston College next week, just one game. And who was it? Quinnipiac, they played a Thursday night against Clarkson. And then Saturday, they played St. Lawrence. So they put a day between them and, you know, played two different teams. So that does happen, but typically you're going to have the same team two nights in a row. Sometimes it's Saturday, Sunday, but usually Friday, Saturday.
Gotcha. Okay. Interesting.
Yeah, so Notre Dame gets game one. And honestly, if you're a Notre Dame fan, you're thinking, this is better than we expected. You know, we got one out of two away against number one. That's good.
Yeah, it's but, a comeback you know, win, right?
Yeah, it was a comeback win away. You know, that's against number one. You know, you can't ask for more, but you can hope for more. And well, those hopes were answered in a 5-4 win the next night over Michigan again. You know, Michigan again went up 2-0. Then Notre Dame answered with 3, and then they just went back and forth until again overtime. And then Max Ellis, he put the game away, finished off the sweep. It was also his hat trick. Pretty big game if you're a Notre Dame fan. Pretty crazy to see 1 and 2 both get swept in the same weekend. I mean, in college hockey, there's a lot of ebb and flow. And, St. Cloud State's 9-3 coming into this weekend, and they're number two. That just kind of shows you how balanced it is. It's not like college football, college basketball, where the top teams have one or two losses and there's a big gap. I mean, it's parity. There's a lot of parity. Right. These teams are beating each other up the whole year, but it's really not what you would expect from number one and number two. And so, following this type of weekend where 1 and 2 both get swept, in Michigan's favor, it was two close games. So I think they'll get the extra points there, and you know, they'll get the style points because they didn't get dominated. St. Cloud coming off, now they have 3 losses in a row, getting dominated twice. I wouldn't be surprised if St. Cloud drops out of the top 5.
Yeah.
I think Michigan probably drops to 3-4 at the farthest. But then you got your next 3, Minnesota Duluth, Minnesota State, and Quinnipiac. Minnesota Duluth split with North Dakota, who was ranked 6th. So that doesn't look too bad. Minnesota Duluth probably stays at 3, maybe gets a bump up just because the other two teams lost. Michigan State, they swept St. Thomas, which isn't terribly challenging. I'm thinking Minnesota State jumps up to number one. And then Quinnipiac had a shootout win against Clarkson and then dominated St. Lawrence 8-0. So based off of this past weekend, if I had to guess, you know, I'm thinking Minnesota State, Quinnipiac, Michigan, Minnesota, Duluth, St. Cloud. St. Cloud might drop farther than that, but of the top 5, I think that's the order they end up in. So when the rankings come out, we'll see if I was right. Is Minnesota State the new number one? North Dakota splitting with number 3 Duluth, I think they're going to bump up in the top 5. I think that the top 5 will stay the same except St. Cloud. I think St. Cloud will probably drop out. North Dakota is your new number 5. So it'll be interesting to see when, you know, by the time this recording is on podcast platforms, the poll is already out. But
you could look like a genius.
Yeah, I could. I really could. Actually, I'll pull up the tweet I was talking about. John Butcher Gross retweeted me and see who his new top is. He put Duluth at number 1, Minnesota State at 2. He's got Western Michigan at number 3, Michigan at 4, Quinnipiac at 5. So, my top 5 agrees with all of it but 1. And then he bumped Notre Dame all the way up to 7, which, you know, after sweeping number 1, it's pretty fair to have a significant jump. So, you know, he's probably more in tune with how the voting goes than I am. So I'm sure his vote's probably a little more accurate than my guess. But, yeah, you know, I think keep an eye out on the rankings. There's going to be a very, not a very different look, but a different look than what we had this week. And the state of hockey is going to be back up in the top spots.
Word. You know, I'm always, you know, this sounds super stupid to me, but like I've always been super partial to those Michigan Wolverine helmets, man. The three stripes. I fucking love those. And then, you know, of course, back when I was playing hockey, that when, you know, I think that all these young fucks think that the whole like picking the puck up on your stick, which, you know, I do after every warm up. It's just kind of a kind of a thing for me. I feel like that was always called the Michigan for us when I was growing up. I literally do
now
this.
They call it lacrosse goal,
right? Which is no, it's the Michigan, and that I don't even know who did it. The guy who did it in like a big game for the win, I believe, and then I think they won off that.
I think it's back in the 90s.
Yeah, it was. Thanks for dating me. But I always do it, and I'm like, am I going to have a good game today? Let's see if I can pick this up in the first try. And if I can pick it up on the first try, I'm like, yeah. And I still have a shitty game. But it doesn't matter. It's like, you know, that's my whole – like I have two rules on warmies, dude. And it's first shot, hard shot, like a real, quote-unquote, real shot, always goes into the goalie's glove. It's rule number one for me. Right, in warmies, beer league, wherever. If I don't hit it in the goalie's glove, like I feel bad. But you know, then it's like okay, the second shot goes. I mean, I have to get a shot right in the goalie's glove, like. And if he doesn't catch it, which you know, shout out Smita, he sometimes doesn't because I just have such a ripper. I just like, all right, fuck it, dude. I gave it to you, whatever. But every first shot always in the goalie's glove every time. New team, old team, always come out for a shot in the goalie's glove. And then when everybody's like picking up pucks to like after warmies are over, I go to like where all the pucks are being gathered and I just like try to pick one up. And if I can pick one up, like I'm like, okay, good. Now I'm ready to play hockey. That's my only two. Do you have any superstitions?
No, I don't do any of that.
Nothing?
No, when I was a kid, I used to always, I had to get a bag of Skittles from the rink's vending machine.
Imagine, snack time with Polly Cupcakes, his pregame warmie includes a bag of Skittles.
Yeah, well, you know, I've got a few things that, you know, as I've talked about before, I've got OCD, so few things that hold me up when I'm getting ready, but I'm not going to go into detail there, just,
okay.
But no true, like, no true superstitions, I'd say,
so that's
anymore
the thing.
At least.
I figured you'd have, like, many, and I'm the one that's, like, all superstitious. Maybe I should go get fucking diagnosed.
I mean, I think you're pretty par for the course there. I mean, that's just that's a hockey thing, that's a sports thing, you know, that's just the way it is. You know, I think I definitely think there was a time where, you know, I had to make sure my stick was taped a certain way, and you know, yeah, I just little stuff, but yeah, I definitely don't have anything anymore.
Yeah. I still hold true to it, man. I mean, I picked that up college when games started to matter again. That's, I think, when I, you know, obviously, as we've talked about on this pod, like, you know, I left hockey and played beer league and stuff, but when it like became like, even when it was like a beer league game, I always thought, and I remember you telling me, like, I think somebody noticed it. Like, was like, we shot it right into the goalie's glove on warm-ups. And I'm like, Yeah, first shot always goes in the goalie's glove. Always. I aim for it. It needs to happen for me. And it's not, because, you know, I think that, you know, when you're warming up in beer league, if you take breakaways on the goalie, like that's your first thing to do, you're a fucking asshole. Don't do that. The goalie does not want to see that. He wants to see shots. He wants to see a lot of, like, you know, in the first 5 minutes, the first minute of warm-ups, you know, because you get, like, three in beer league. Like, shoot it at the goalie so that he can see the puck and, like, okay, that's how that feels again. I'm literally getting shot at like, 40 to 35 mile-an-hour shots. I need to figure this out again, right? First one, right in the glove. That's got to make him feel good, right?
Yeah.
You know, and that's fine. I'll be the willful heel there. Let him have it. And then for me personally, then, you know, warm-ups go, and then I burn the goalie a couple times. But, like, I never do breakaways on warm-ups. What kind of asshole does that? And then the last thing I do is, like, I always just, like, even if I have to take it away from, like, my own teammate who's, like, taking the puck to the bench, I'm like, fuck off. Like, I just take the puck away from him, and I'm like, okay, I can pick this up. And then that's it for me.
I just throw marshmallows at the goalie. I just want him to see the puck. Like, yeah. I purposely try to hit his glove. I go for the glove on purpose. Throw him some marshmallows. Just get him used to seeing the puck.
Like the last 30 seconds, I try to, like, fucking just rip one full steam and just try to blow it past the goalie. I usually just go a foot over the bar.
Yeah, normal stuff. You know, while we were recording,
yeah.
Just quick shout out, Team USA Hillary Knight, overtime goal against Canada in the My Why Tour.
There we go.
So I think Team Canada got the first couple of those games.
What a beauty.
Hillary Knight, just another... Check another box for her career accomplishments and clutch plays.
I mean, she's not even an Ovechkin. She's like a Richard.
She's the trendsetter. She is of, legend.
Of goal scoring in women's hockey. So, good for her. What a beaut. All right, sorry. I don't know. I derailed that whole thing with my stupid fucking pregame shit. I don't know.
It's okay. We like to hear you share.
Tell us about... So, UNO Mavericks, are they going to be a contender this year? What's your thoughts on them? I don't know.
I actually don't know much about...
They're always, like, a decent team, and they're ranked usually, like, top 10, but they never get to a tournament.
So they, trying to pull up their schedule here.
But yeah, they were in. Oh, real quick before you get into that, just something at the tail end of this episode. You know, shout out to the USHL Lancers. They staged a walkout because of some things that were going on as far as, you know, things weren't getting paid. Their coach was fired, a coach that they liked and was, you know, unduly, at least in their eyes, I think, fired. He was fired and the team refused to play. And the league backed him. And it looks like the owner of the USHL Lancers is really going to need to, like, figure some shit out or sell the team or figure out how to, like, remedy the situation before they come in. So kind of a cool little tidbit there. I really do honestly hope that the USHL team there in Omaha figures it out, because that's literally how I got into hockey. I went to a Lancers game and I was like, yeah, I gotta play this sport. And, you know, 11-year-old, 10-year-old me was like, that's it. And now I have a stupid podcast about the Washington Capitals that you lovely listeners listen to. So thank you very much. Yeah.
So, yeah, they were, I mean, that's a good story, man. Yeah, and I did see, I didn't read much about that walkout, but, you know, good for them doing that. Yeah.
Standing up for it.
Omaha, they, coming into this week, they were number 9.
Yeah.
And they actually were the beginning of St. Cloud's 3-game losing streak.
Yeah.
So they beat them last week in overtime. And then they swept. They went up to Alaska, swept Fairbanks. So they're looking pretty good.
Riding high, and riding high.
They've got a pretty tough schedule ahead of them. They've still got Colorado College, Western Michigan, Denver, North Dakota, Duluth. I mean, Miami, St. Cloud State again, North Dakota again. So they've got quite a few top 10 matchups ahead of them still. So Omaha, Nebraska would be a team to watch out for. And, you know, they're trending up right now.
Cool. Good stuff. I'll have to catch some of those games somehow. Maybe some clandestine ways, but we'll figure it out.
Might be on ESPN Plus shows some college hockey. So you just have to go to the hockey section, or maybe it's NCAA sports, but I know there are some, and it usually is like the Western teams. So
right.
Check ESPN Plus. You might be able to watch some Mavericks.
Absolutely. I'll do that. All right, man. Well, is there anything else, or should we just let all these Caps fans go and get watching the Seattle Kraken game?
Yeah, man. Let's get back to the game that the Caps are losing 3-1 right now.
Aye, fuck. All right. Well, that's not good. All right. Well, Caps fans, until next week, thanks for tuning in. We'll be back with you with league news and everything else that we do. Hopefully, we'll have a good interview for you next week. And we can talk about maybe a little bit of New Jersey Devil action. This is our teaser. Until then, though, Hockey Troll, Poly Cupcakes, signing off.
Bye.
Hey, Caps fans. Thanks for tuning in to the official Caps Troll podcast, repping the greatest team in the NHL. Follow me, the Hockey Troll, at Hockey Trolling on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.
And follow me, Poly Cupcakes, at Cupcake Poly on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok.
And follow the show's handle, at Caps Chirp, on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. Special thanks to the Hockey Podcast Network, at HockeyPodNet on social, and thehockeypodcastnetwork.com. The Hockey Podcast Network, every team, everywhere. Check them out, or we're not friends anymore.